Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, everyone, and thanks for joining this Q3 FY26 earnings call for Infobeans Technologies Limited. The results are available on the stock exchange. In case anyone does not have a copy of the same, please do write to us. We'll be happy to send it over to you. To take us through the results of this quarter, we have with us three co-founders, Mr. Avinash Sethi, Mr. Siddharth Sethi, and Mr. Mitesh Bohra. We will be starting the call with a brief overview of the company's performance, and then we will allow the Q&A session. Kindly ask your question by raising your hand, and the brief overview by Avinash is over, and then we will address all the questions one by one. I would like to remind you all that everything said on this call that reflects any outlook for the future can be considered as a forward-looking statement and must be used in conjunction with the uncertainty and the risks that we face. These uncertainties and risks are included, but not limited to what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with the SEBI and the subsequent annual report. With the side note, I turn over the call to Mr. Avinash Sethi. Over to you, Avinash.
Thank you, everybody, for joining this call so early. Thank you for being at the forefront of Infobeans Mumbai. Just quick summary of Infobeans for those of you who are attending the call for the first time. Infobeans is now a 600 people strong company. We completed 26 years making. We are targeting the emerging markets from Germany, Middle East, Dubai, and US. And we have offices in India, which are mostly global centers, and now and this is a quick roadmap of how we started, how the revenue hit 4 crores and then in 8 years, we hit 3 and so on. We went public in 2017, acquired two companies in 2019 and one in 2021. And recently, we've been named as we had Sameesh Murthy on the road as a company to the world one hour to go. And then we have Open Query as the CEO of EasyJet from the UK. That's good. Infobeans at a glance, a quick number on the top line. One of the USPs of Infobeans is that we work with large enterprise clients. And that means that we have a very high repeat business, as well as a very strong relationship which continues to give a strength to the business. We did two successful acquisitions and two buybacks. And we have a long relationship with our team members and a good number of people are with us trying to us. 9 months financials on the middle row, as you see, we have done 392 crores in the first 9 months of this fiscal year. EBITDA has touched on 4 crores, PAT has 65 crores, and 319 crores of cash and cash equivalents. That include account receivables, mostly good, of about 108 crores. I would be getting a revenue CAGR of 24% since 2021. Some of the relationships and awards and partnerships that we have from Salesforce, ServiceNow, Microsoft Azure. The recent award that we are very proud of is from Avatar, which is the best companies to work from in India. We named our multiple years as best company for the minute. The focus on some of these offerings, which allow us to service the very large enterprise clients, is added in June, Salesforce, ServiceNow. And we're also now focusing on two verticals, B2C as well as storage. So the founders, three of us are here, and then we'll be talking about Open. We are mainly, she is part of IT and the US. So we are just saying that she will be in the boarding school just to see her. Very important, cheerleaders for us, very important evangelists for us, Armin Bhatia, Ram Lakshmi, Gitanjali, Manish, and the spearhead in terms of meeting our customer demands, both as spoken and spoken. This is a very strong delivery team that we have, Amit, Dennis, So the client, most client we can't name because the NDAs, but some of the long-standing clients include ALM, which is the best for like almost 50 years now. We have another 14 years of course, maybe for another decade or so. Now, Fortune 500 companies, are large enterprises. If you look at the bottom, the average age of our customers is over 9 years. And 90% of these clients choose to renew our services every year. This is the strength that we have in our relationship, with our relationship with our clients. Yeah, so quickly coming out of a snapshot of October to December quarter, December 25 to December 24, there was a significant jump in the revenue of 38%, EBITDA shot up by 89%, and PAT by 173%. On a quarter on quarter, we still had a good growth in terms of revenue, 6% growth. EBITDA dropped by 6% and PAT by 15%. I'll tell you the reason on the next slide. In the USD terms, our revenue grew 30% year on year. So, good momentum overall. Here we look at the expenses side. We have increased the expenses, particularly I mentioned in the last quarter as well. We had appraisals hitting in October. So that impact is showing up. Plus, if you notice, we hired net addition in the company was more than 77 people in the last quarter, which also added to the cost. Then we are investing in sales continuously and in the AI efforts. So all of these costs, I would say, investment that we're making towards the future growth. So therefore, that cost is to ensure that we build that number down further. Same numbers in a little bit more detail. One important point that I keep mentioning in all my calls is our steady state margins are 24% in the EBITDA level. And if you look at the two numbers in December 24, which is 18%, and September 25, which is 39%, both are outliers and both are not sustainable. Our target is always about 24% of the So the PAT also on the PAT margin as well, the variation is palpable. It is not really these are outliers. This is not the target that we get. So interestingly, both 24% and 14% of the actual margin that we
audience are saying that you are not audible clearly.
Okay. I'm trying to be slow and more clear. Is it better? Do we have any feedback?
So, can anyone confirm? Can you hear us properly?
We have to have
Please, anyone help us by writing your confirmation in the Q&A box.
Is the audio audible? Is the sound audible?
Yes.
Thank you. Next, please. So, I just repeat it again. So, on the revenue side, there is an increase of, on a quarter to quarter basis, there is an increase of 8 crores. And on the expense side, if you look at, there is an increase of about 11 crores. That is primarily because of increase in appraisals, increase in cost of employees because of appraisals, which was due in October. And then we had net addition of 77 new members in the company, which also added to the cost. Then we are continuing to invest in AI efforts, and we are continuing to invest in the sales teams as well across the two markets. So that is where there's an increase in the expenditure, which is totally aligned with the objective of the company of the continuing to maintain the growth and the momentum. So therefore, we don't really bother about it. When I look at the EBITDA margin, I keep telling in all my calls previously as well 24% is the standard, is the steady state margin that we aim at. This is what we focus on the business. So when you look at the other two quarters listed here, December 24 and September 25, the numbers are outliers in that sense, because this is not what we target. So I mentioned in the October call for the September quarter that this 29% is unsustainable, and we will probably roughly back to 24%, which is, you know, basically what happens. Same goes with PAT margin. The margins are not sustainable. 17% is totally outliers. PAT margin of 40% is what we keep saying all the time. So, you know, ideally, both of these numbers are back in the this quarter, which is quite a coincidence. So this is what we target as a company. Yeah, so one you know, big announcement from Infibeam is that we reward its shareholders. You know, we've been in the market for almost 9 years now. We also wanted to allow shareholders to participate. Therefore, the equity is injected by way of bonus as well. Bonus ratio is 3:1. So every share that you hold, you will get 3 equity shares for each. And so these are the technicalities of how the capitalization will happen and how the number of equity shares will increase as compared to this time. Quite top of the town right now, impact of new labor code for all the IT companies, because we have biggest expense in terms of the employee cost. Thankfully, you know, our basic was already 50% of the gross organization. So when we did a lot of analysis and calculations and consulted our experts in the industry, we realized that there is no material impact in the company due to the labor code. Our gratuity liability and leave encashment liability is unaffected. Pay structure is also very revised to ensure that we meet all those rights that are defined by the government. And interestingly, the enhanced salaries of the team will also move to some change. So we already had that 50% as a basic pay. So we are openly shielded from those impacts. I'll ask Mitesh to talk about the events on the end.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. Thank you for joining. One of the biggest things that we look at is how the market is evolving and how the trends are changing. Everybody probably already is realizing the impact AI is making in all industries everywhere across the board. We have remained at the forefront of a lot of innovation and expertise development with respect to AI. One of the key changes that we made in the organization in the past few months is actually have one of the founders take a deeper dive into AI and essentially look at how market is buying. A lot of customers these days look for ready-to-go accelerators, ready-to-go products that can actually fulfill quite a bit of need that they may have. Yes, there is a lot of things you still need in terms of implementation, to go in and build everything from the scratch, those are 20 years ago type of market, go-to-market strategies. So we are investing very heavily in terms of building accelerators and product. Last week, we launched what we call Insane SDD. It's a spec-driven development accelerator, essentially inspired from Tesla's Insane Mode. If any of you have experienced Tesla's Insane Mode drive, goes from 0 to 60 in about 1.9 seconds. That's the kind of inspiration that we have taken and essentially enabling our customers to now achieve that kind of development with roughly 50% gain in speed, 50% reduction in defects, and overall savings of dev days, what we call developer days, of up to 50%. The idea, again, is How can we take an emerging industry benchmark like spec-driven development, apply AI at the right time and the right mechanisms, and create an accelerator that can really add value to our customers? So that's something that we have launched. Next week, you will see unveiling of Expona 2.0, which will enable anybody out there in the world to deploy Expona in their own environment. BeanTrail has been an existing product of ours on the Salesforce side, with roughly 40,000 licenses that are already sold. We have enhanced BeanTrail with AI agent, and pending Salesforce approval, it will be deployed on Salesforce's agent exchange. Essentially, taking everything that we have and either making them AI enabled or actually taking AI first initiative. So that's the kind of thing that we are doing. There are many other things in the pipeline, and with time to come, we will definitely be unveiling all of those.
Next. A quick revenue breakup by Geo, which means 55% market share of the US geography, revenue share from the US geography, 33% from the European market, 7% from the Middle East, and 5% from the bank, which includes India and also. Business point of view, I think this is pretty irrelevant by the day because the potential uptake is already in the process of merging. So there's not 8% of the total revenue. On the ground, some of the awards that we receive on employee engagement, excellence, or the example of inclusion, where we have the diversity. And awarded by Avatar. So the events that we attend, you know, Dreamforce, particularly on the animated automation and customer experience. Again, another event in Dubai, training by Salesforce, again, on the AI tools. Next. So, yeah, we, in order to reach more from audience for us, company engagement point of view, we've started with a podcast, and Siddharth is hosting a podcast for us. He was our first guest for this podcast. I encourage you to channel on YouTube and to use the website. This is typically how the journey started, as you know, from our college days to working days to how we got the idea of business and other personal channels. Actually, a few of us, we got a chance to roast my face. Yes, please. The second podcast happened with the client, which is Mike Fields, the president of Viatech. He's a long timer, and I have a very good discussions there. One of the interesting feedback of this story that we're getting is people are really getting a full view of how this company started, what kind of philosophies that we follow, what kind of inspiration that we have, and how we continue to build this business. Which is the decision that we're making, the friendship behind it is more than that. Some of the activities that we do to impact the society, this is particularly for students to encourage software coding and programming. So we did a hackathon with NU Community, which is a global summit that happens every year. Influence Foundation, which is our passion project where we help underprivileged, train them on software engineering for the year, and then ensure that we have raised we have this policy where we have plant trees on birthdays of every member, and this is where we have 372 trees in this one. Okay. Quick market data as of 31st of December, the green shares, the market price was 821. That was 1920. Rupees. That might be on And promoter holding 74.4% of new holding. Thank you so much. Any questions that you have, you can always raise it here. And if it is unanswered or we can't raise in person, please email us the email over there on our side. Thank you so much. So, what do you say?
Thank you, everyone. You can unmute yourself and ask your question when it is your turn. We further request you to limit yourself to one question at a time. You may rejoin the queue for the follow-up questions, and we'll be happy to answer if the time permits. So we'll begin the session now. First question is coming from the line of Mr. Mehul. Mehul, please unmute yourself and ask your question.
Yeah, good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Mehul.
Yeah, first of all, a small feedback. I think the first speaker was not in the room and he was online, I think. And we were hardly able to hear him. Whosoever was on video con, you know. I'm able to hear the gentleman in the room. But I was not able to hear a single word at all. And I was, because you disabled the chat, I was sending messages to the Q&A. You can see all the messages from 9:02 onwards, 9:02. Unfortunately, you know, I don't know whether anybody else. Sorry?
All the speakers are being on the call today. I'm in this room right now, sitting in front of you. Can you see us?
So, the first speaker was Mr. Shetty, right?
Yeah, I'm Avinash. I'm Avinash Shetty.
Yeah, your voice was very feeble. I thought you were not in the room.
Okay.
I was able to hear Mitesh very well. I was able to hear the person in the beard, you know, the person who is just announced the question. But I was not able to hear you. I don't know if anybody else heard you very well. I was able to hear Mitesh as well, unfortunately. Anyway, I will go ahead with my question.
Sorry for that.
Yeah. So I think I would request you that next time when we have the call, you can open, keep the chat enabled and see if somebody is facing a problem. Because I don't know if anybody else heard the discussion. Sorry for the long one. So my question is that, you know, the IT services industry is facing quite a bit of challenges when we look at the big IT services companies like TCS, Wipro, Infosys. While we are churning out very good numbers from the last two quarters, I've been joining your calls as well and tracking your results as well, quarterly numbers. So what are we doing differently? I mean, I know that we are a small company, so obviously the small companies can be agile and they can grow faster than the elephants in the room, TCS and Wipro and Infosys. But what are we doing so different that we are able to grow at this pace?
Mehul, it is probably just a coincidence, I would say.
Sorry, but you know, your voice is very, very feeble. I don't know what is the challenge.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, it is better, much better. Yeah, thank
okay.
you.
So, Mehul, I don't think, you know, we have just a magic wand, which is, you know, which is not available to us. It is just a matter of timing. Just last year, 12 months ago, we were struggling with growth. So it is, you know, you continue to make efforts. And at certain point in time, your stars are aligned and things, you know, don't know well. I'm not discounting the amount of effort that we are doing, all the others are doing. In my mind, TCS at that size is doing good. Similarly, Infosys is very good. Persistent is like magic, right? So, but what I'm trying to say is everybody is trying to figure out the things in the market, the micro factors, and everybody is also engaging with their customer base to try to solve their problems and ensure that they also succeed. Now, it is a matter of timing that some things play out well and some things don't play out well. So I won't say that we did, you know, something crazy. Because, you know, we could have done that a year ago or 2 years ago as well. So what I'm trying to say is we continue to make efforts and there's a long gestation period of that outcome, and that is what it is showing right now. Whatever we tried to do 2 years ago, or 18 months ago, is now starting to show the colors in full bloom. So that is what it is. I don't think there's a magic wand that what we're doing best is really good than the others are not doing enough. Everybody's making enough efforts. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't work. So sorry to not give you any magic formula. It is none, I would say.
No. So why I'm saying so, because if you compare the quarterly numbers of the giants like TCS, Wipro, they are not growing at this pace. You know, they are hardly, the growth on revenue and profits is very, very meager compared to what a small company like your, I mean, Infobeans is doing. So, I mean,
it is unfair to expect that kind of growth at that size.
No, I'm not expecting same.
Let me try and answer that. I think Mehul, part of the, can you hear me well?
Yeah, I can hear you very well. Okay, yeah, thank you.
Thank you. So first of all, thank you for your question. Thank you for comparing us with giants like TCS and Infosys. I think the part of the answer lies in your question itself, and part of it is agility. We tend to show up more often. We have more hunger. I think larger companies, again, not trying to compare us with them, they're excellent organizations. They have their own pace and we have our own pace. Three founders are sitting here in the investor's call. We could have done it with one or none at all. So I think that hunger is there to grow. And, you know, hopefully, as Avinash also said, you know, things will match up. Our luck will also align, and our efforts in that direction, combined with the luck and combined with, you know, what our clients think of ourselves, of us, I think that is all of these three factors will combine and probably will continue to grow the way we are growing. The effort is always going to be there. That is 100% sure. And that is exemplified by our presence in this investor spot.
Yes, yeah, so just to...
Next question, please, Mehul. I think we've spent enough time on this, but we'll definitely come back to you.
No, we can
sure.
A separate call. We can send out the email.
Yeah,
next question. Sure. Thank you so much, Mehul. Yeah.
Thanks, Mehul. Next question is from Mr. Sumukh. Sumukh, please unmute yourself and ask your question.
Hey, am I audible?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So my question is, sir, post your partnership, your German partnership in FY22, your revenue share from Europe has gone up from 16% to close to 33% now. So what part of this change in mix is attributable to that partnership? And also, can you share your revenue mix in terms of your top one or top five clients, or just to know the client concentration? Thank you.
Well, thank you for your question. We do not attribute the revenue share to a particular partnership, especially in this case. It is a very strong partnership. That is all that I can say. It has been going on now for 2.5 years, if I'm correct, two and a half years. And it's a very, very strong partnership. And we're very proud of that partnership. Just to put it in terms of numbers, we'll probably not do justification to the kind of work that we are doing together in a very important market like Germany. That is, I think, the first question. What was the second question? I forgot. The breakdown of top five clients. Yeah.
So we'll offer that in the annual thing. So the March quarter will come back with more. So yeah, but usually our top 10 customers will give us about 70%+ revenue.
Sorry, I didn't get that number. Can you please come again?
We'll share the breakup next.
Next question is from Mr. Varun. Varun, please unmute yourself and proceed with your question.
Hi. Good morning, sir. Is my voice audible?
Yeah.
Sir, congratulations on a good set of numbers. And to be honest, the most encouraging part has been your top line growth above that 100 crore mark since the last few quarters, and it continues to grow. So that's very encouraging, and congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So my only question is on the US business. Looks like there has been slight slowdown in this quarter compared to the previous quarter. This quarter looks like the company has a revenue of 34 crores versus 39 crores in the previous quarter. I arrived that number by, minusing the consolidated and the standalone numbers. So, sir, any specific reason for the slowdown in the overseas business, or what can we attribute this slowdown to?
Well, that's not the exact yes, there is a so because the standalone is only India business, and then the transfer is consisting of US, Germany, and Middle East, and CloudTech as well. So four subsidiaries get merged in the consolidated results. So you will not be able to derive only US from. But point taken that yes, US revenues are still not growing as fast as the German revenue or. So we are, if you look at the kind of efforts that we're making in terms of investing in the sales, and particularly in the US geography, Harmeet Bhatia is from Bay Area. We have at least six more people join the sales team in the American region itself. So we've been investing our own here in that geography to ensure that we rebuild the momentum that we lost because of all the. So yes, that's an investment that's going on.
Okay. Yeah. So thank you, Varun. Next question is from Srinivasu. Srinivasu, please unmute yourself and ask your question.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. And again, I also have the similar feedback. The first 20 minutes, I'm not able to hear anything. So please bear with me if I'm asking some basic questions because I couldn't get anything. I also request organizers to ensure that quality of the audio is good before starting this meeting. My question is about the accelerators that you talked about it. Is this Expona 2.0? How is it different from the previous version? Is it are you enhancing it for workflows or orchestration or how? I mean, how are you going to monetize this?
Sure. Thank you so much for your question. Expona One that we launched about 4 months ago was essentially to look at the scientific improvements that have been happening in the AI world. And the main intent, and which remains the same, is to figure out ways in which hallucinations from the LLM world can be reduced, the noise that comes from broader web search that can be reduced. People, when they are looking for very specific information that comes from the content, should come from the content. And we deployed the traditional RAG technology, and we've talked about that before. What we have now implemented in Expona 2.0 is the graph RAG technology. This is a combination of knowledge graph and traditional graph, and we have enhanced it with live RAG. The idea here is, can we look at any set of content, and this could be public content or private content in the enterprise world, depending on where Expona is deployed. Can we look at it and enhance the outcomes, the questions that get answered by Expona? Can we look at it from the perspective of very precise and very accurate answers? So accuracy improvement has been a major goal on the scientific side of AI. One big piece that we are trying to achieve in Expona 2.0 is now take this and apply it to anybody who has a public content and deploy it in a matter of minutes. So that's something that's coming. The intent again is, if you have public content, it can be rapidly deployed without worrying about the aspects of, whether this goes on a public cloud or a private cloud. But at the same time, the real goal is Expona for enterprises. Can we take Expona and assist enterprises within their world? They can have a structured content, they can have unstructured content. All of this could produce great amount of hallucination also. Deploying scientific aspects of AI, can we make it very streamlined and uniform for them and improve the performance? So those are some of the big improvements that we are bringing in Expona. I hope that answers it.
Yeah. Thanks for answering that. So among the clients, the largest clients that you have, Salesforce, ServiceNow, Microsoft, which ecosystem today offers the best leverage for your AI accelerators, be it Expona or Braintail or SBT?
Repeat the question. Microsoft, Salesforce, ServiceNow are not our customers.
Yeah, I'm asking basically among the three accelerators that you have right now, which ecosystem today offers the best leverage? Is it Salesforce or ServiceNow or Microsoft?
See, our business is fairly evenly distributed, you know, some more, some less. The idea is the markets that we operate in, the ecosystems that we operate in, we want to ensure that there is a strong AI presence in each one of them. And that's really what we are trying to achieve with these three different accelerators. There is more in the pipeline for ServiceNow as well. And we want to ensure that we have a very strong footing in each of the areas that we operate.
Thanks. Thank you, Srinivasu. Next question is from Mr. Ankit Kumar. Ankit, please unmute yourself and ask your question.
Sir, am I audible?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask on this QOQ growth, do you think it will continue in the coming quarters also? And on employee side, we have taken around 10% hike in October, I believe. So what should our employee, as in our employee cost expense, should stay at similar levels going into the coming quarters? Thank you.
Thank you, Ankit, for the question. The employee cost will continue to increase if we continue to hire. That's first. You know, obviously, we will want to employ as much as we can. On the revenue growth, yes, the momentum is good. So we want to bring the momentum better. So, yeah, I think right there, as I can say. But yeah, the employee cost is a factor of, you know, people addiction. And since the appraisal happened for October, that same, you know, cost will stay for the entire year until we, the next appraisal cycle. So quarter on quarter, that is the next level of starting point here. So the base has changed from what it was in September. Thank you. Next question.
Varun, please proceed with your follow-up question.
Sir, just due to some audio issues, I couldn't hear to Avinash sir's the comment, full comment on the overseas business a bit. Sorry for the repeat question. If you can just help with that, sir.
What was the question
about? So about just the slowdown in the top line numbers in the quarter. So you were explaining something about the investment overseas business. So if just clarity on that, sir, please.
No, no. So what you see is you can't just deduce, I mean, you can't deduct standalone from Consorm and get the US business, because the Consorm has subsidiary consolidation for US, Germany, Middle East, and for these outlets. There are four subsidiaries that get merged into the Consorm. So you see that, you know, when I reduce this, you know, I get to go somewhere. So I'd say it was not the fact.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So just a request, sorry to interrupt that. I think similar to other participants, I think Mitesh sirs, we can hear, but clearly Avinash sir, you know, we are not able to hear you clearly. Maybe the platform used next time for the call, if it can be reviewed by the team. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. So we would be able to take this last question. So we have another question. Ankur, please unmute yourself and proceed with your question.
Thanks. Just quick, any guidance for next year at this point in time? Revenue guidance.
We unfortunately don't give guidance. This is
all right. That's okay. All the best, guys. Thanks.
Gaurav, please unmute yourself and proceed with your question.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. And on that Tal 64 story, right, it was actually really good. Amazing to see three set of friends staying together for so long. Rarely we see such things happening in the business world. Now, coming to my question, sir, in fact, that story had mentioned about a logistics player based out of Germany, where the revenue has ran up from, say, 0 million to 10 million in about 6 years. Now, if I just take that number, right, that's like 100 crores. So I just want to understand, is that one client giving us 100 crores? How do you think about client concentration? Is that a risk? How should we think of it? If you can share some thoughts on that.
So we had in the journey of InfoGreen, we had certain tenures where we had clients which are giving about 10%-25%.
Sir, it's sir. I think the mic which you're using, right? Maybe it needs to be near you or a little far away from you. I think that is the
As
problem.
close as possible. Is it better?
Far better, sir. I think that is the issue. You should.
In the entire journey of InfoGreen, we had certain several instances where a single client could have contributed over 30% or more. And this time, we're actually happy that we have a client which is contributing close to 20% to the top line, because this is a very large company. Plus, we are dealing with almost 8 to 9 entities of that large company. So these are one broad MSA is at a global level, but a lot of SOWs at entity levels, which spreads us fairly well in the organization. And interestingly, we are among the top five global vendors in that company's list, which again, is a sign of strength rather than worry in my mind. Secondly, as a company of our size, we will have a couple of such relationships to ride on. Now, similarly, when we can look at Salesforce and ServiceNow, these are also strong relationships that we are riding on. I mean, not necessarily is a direct customer relationship, but as a partner in that ecosystem. So I think we are well diversified in terms of our industries, in terms of our geographies. So there's no sign of worry as such, but point well taken. We definitely want to not have more than 25% from one single client. We're still well diversified and not put all our eggs into one basket. So yes, but we are fairly positioned at this point in time. We certainly want to increase our wallet share with that client further.
So just to add on, if I may, is our revenue share primarily because of this one client, or is it fairly well, the revenue growth, which I mean?
No, it's a broad
Okay.
spectrum. Not just, I mean, this client is definitely one of the key factors, but not the only one. There are many lines of client.
Great. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. So, unfortunately, we have a hard stop at 9:45, so we would be able to take this last question. So, Mehul, you can come up with your follow-up question. Please unmute yourself.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity again. Because the discussion which we were having in the first question, we could not complete it. So my perspective was that, I was not trying to say that InfoPrints and TCS will grow at the same pace. What I was trying to say is that what TCS is to do 3 years back, they have slowed down substantially while we have accelerated. So there's a big divergence in what they are doing and I mean, what our company is doing and how these giants are doing. So that's my, and I am not an IT guy. So I am trying to understand, are we doing something which is very, very niche? And these guys are doing something which is very, very, more majority of their work is like substandard work. I mean, sorry to say that, but yeah, I hope you got my question.
So Mehul, just to repeat, we don't know what TCS is doing or not doing. So there is no way to compare whether they are doing good work or bad work. TCS has a huge track record, so we are not comparing with them. What we can say is, as Mitesh pointed out earlier also, we are putting tremendous efforts into AI, into optimization, into making sure that our future is secure. AI is one of those tools. The second tool is investment in people. One of the biggest reasons for the increase in cost is that we also want to take care of our people. Our people are our only asset. There is no other asset. So if we are taking care of our people, investing in AI, doing our job sincerely, properly, showing up in situations where we are required and we want to show up, all of these factors, the entire effort, I think that shows in the results. We hope that we continue to do this. God willing, we will be able to do this. It is our best effort. This is what we do, 24 hours a day. And if we are successful, great. If not, we'll continue to put in our efforts. But obviously, we cannot, I personally or this room cannot comment on what TCS or XYZ company is doing or not doing. So let's not
Yeah,
go
thank you.
to that direction.
No, I'll stop here. So thank you. Last question. So what does investment in AI mean? If you can, because I'm a outsider from IT. So what does, because AI is, everybody talks about AI. Even a paint company will talk about AI, even a logistics company will talk about. So what are we doing in
Yeah.
AI?
So AI is touching every aspect of our life, from entertainment to healthcare to running any small organization to even figuring out what to cook today at home. So all of us are investing in AI on an individual basis or as an enterprise. What we are doing, I think Mitesh threw some light on that. We are also, in addition to that, we're also trying to improve our internal systems using AI, our hiring systems, our financial systems, our project tracking systems, all of those things combined. So this is basically what I can say in terms of what we are doing on AI. From a market point of view.
No. So I think what Mehul is trying to understand is what kind of efforts we are doing so that we can help our customers.
Yeah,
Right?
exactly. I mean, yeah, that's right. Yes.
That's what Mitesh talked about.
Yeah. So,
Okay, maybe I missed out. Yeah, sorry.
yeah. So the SDD, the insane SDD that we launched, that's a methodology to do engineering. And if we are able to cut down customer time, the deployment time, if we are able to cut down the defect, the number of defects, all of these ultimately help our customers. One could look at all of this as, oh, so if you can achieve this in half the time or half the cost, your revenue should go down. But history has told us that once a certain level of productivity is reached, the amount of work actually increases. And that's really what we are starting to see. So we continue to add such value to our customers' work, and in the process, end up delivering a lot more value than what we have been in the past. Hope this helps you gain a little bit of a color to what you're trying.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank
That
you.
answers my question.
Yeah, everyone, thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. And now you may disconnect your line.